Next reading. The next reading we consider comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This is God's word. You may be seated. Dear fellow redeemed, does anyone know what the word catechism means? It means instruction. It comes from a word that Luke uses in his first gospel, chapter 1, where he says to his readers, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed, in which you were catechized. Does anyone know the original purpose of Martin Luther's writing of the small catechism? I had one person challenge my beliefs by saying, why do you need someone to tell you what the Bible means? Why do you have sermons? Why don't you just have the pastor stand up there and read from the Bible? Why should we need somebody to give us his take on what the words are saying? Shouldn't the Bible be enough? With the catechism, for instance, why do we need one book to explain another book? Our focus is that Reformation is present in the home. Verse 7 says, you shall teach these words diligently. The concept here comes from a word meaning to sharpen a sword. The words that Moses writes to the Israelites are used to sharpen faith and understanding. He goes on, you shall talk of them, meaning you shall speak about them, you shall dwell on them. The words of the Bible, recorded by inspiration, are more than something that we just repeat each day, each week in church. It's more than something that we just recite in catechism class. They are to be the source of conversation and thought every day in our lives, our faith. When we sit down, when we rise up, when we go to work, when we go to school, when we come home, when we talk to our Christian friends, when we talk to our non-Christian friends. These words of God are given to us to be the source of conversation, the source of meditation, the source of reformation. God says, talk about them, teach them. This is why we have sermons. It's why we have catechism class. We're here to battle Satan. Left to ourselves, we are helpless. But with God's word being taught, studied among us, we have a mighty fortress. So we gather around a common confession, a common teaching, a common understanding of what we believe these words are saying. We use them to apply them to our everyday life. To know that they mean something every day for everything we're doing. So then it's a source of instruction, not just in church on Sunday, but every day in our homes. Back to that question, what was the purpose of Martin Luther writing the small catechism? Originally, the small catechism was written for use in the home. It was given to Christian parents to use in teaching their children. It wasn't just for pastors. It came at a time where there were a lot of teachers out there teaching a lot of different things. Some of them weren't even very well trained in the teachings of the Bible because they studied more philosophy. And Luther and the reformers wanted to put something in the hands of Christian parents so they could teach their kids what the Bible was all about. To have daily exercises in their Christian faith. Imagine that Ascension Lutheran Church no longer existed. Imagine that you are isolated from any like-minded Christians around you. What would you do? Verse 7 says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children." The call to Christian education does not begin with the pastor. It begins with the parents. The pastor and Sunday school are just here because the congregation has called the teachers to be here. They're only supplemental. The real foundation and the greatest influence is going to be from parents to children, that you shall teach them diligently. So if you should ever find that our pastor or our church is not teaching according to God's word, it's up to you to carry this on to the next generation. This is how the CLC was founded, after all. It was like-minded Christians gathering around the truth of God's word for preservation of his saving truths. I'd like to read an excerpt written by a pastor to his congregation when they were facing this decision: should we leave Missouri Synod and Wisconsin Synod back in the 1950s? He writes, "The teaching of our children is a continuing daily process. Even now, as we prepare to make this decision, they are being shaped for the future. They are watching us in the matter before us. Either we will demonstrate to them that the Word of God is to be valued above all else, or that full obedience to the Word of God is not always necessary, or that we are unconcerned about the outcome of this matter. In my judgment, the last impression is the worst, for to be indifferent is to leave the impression that the Word of God is not important enough for us to be concerned about it. Let us not underestimate the lasting impression that the decision we face will have upon our children and thus upon the future of the saving truth among us. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Reformation is present in the home." We now have opportunity to join in a common united confession against the works of Satan. We use the words that come from the brief statement of 1932 concerning Holy Scriptures. Let us rise. "We believe that the Holy Scriptures differ from all other books in the world in that they are the Word of God. They are the Word of God because the holy men of God who wrote the Scriptures wrote only that which the Holy Spirit communicated to them by inspiration. The Holy Scriptures are the Word of God, contain no errors or contradictions, and are in all their parts and words the infallible truth. We furthermore believe that the Holy Scriptures are given by God to the whole church for the foundation of faith. Hence, they are the sole source from which all teachings proclaimed in the Christian church are taken. These are the sole rule and norm by which all teachers and teachings are examined and judged. Amen." You may remain standing. We'll continue with the singing of hymn 283, found in the Red Lutheran Hymnal.